Lesson number 50. Goes something like this. I am sustained by the love of God. Knowing that you are sustained by the love of your Creator is the answer to every problem that will confront you today, tomorrow, and throughout time, is knowing that you are sustained by that which created you, God. In this world, we have a tendency to believe that we are sustained by everything but a higher power. In this world, we believe we are sustained by everything but God. That means our faith is placed in the most trivial and insane symbols. We put our faith in pills, money, protective clothing. We put our faith in influence, prestige. We put our faith in being liked, knowing the right people. We put our faith in an endless list of forms of nothingness that we endow with magical powers. We put our faith in an endless list of nothingness that we endow with magical powers. We put our faith in an endless list of nothingness that we endow with a magical power. Rather than putting our faith in that which created us, God, a higher power, we have a tendency to believe it's all about the pills, it's all about the money, it's all about the clothing, it's all about how much influence and prestige. We have a tendency to believe it's about how much people like you. Knowing the right people is that's what will help you make it. That's an endless list of forms of nothingness that we endow with magical powers. All these things are your replacements for the love of God. All of these things are your replacements for the love of God. All these things are cherished. We cherish all this stuff so that it can ensure that we will continue to identify ourselves as just being bodies and not spirits. All these things are songs of praise to your ego, believing that it's something outside of yourself that's taking care of you is a song of praise to the fearful part of the man. Don't put your faith in the worthless. The worthless will not sustain you. Only the love of God for you. It's only your Creator's love for you that will protect you in all circumstances. It's only your Creator's love that will protect you. It's only your Creator's love that will protect you. It's only your Creator's love that will protect you. It is only God's love that will actually protect you. Put your faith, put all of your faith in the love of God within you. Put all your faith, put all your faith, put all of your faith in the love of God within you. Now I'm going to describe the love of God within you. I'm going to tell you what it's like. I'm going to describe the love of your Creator within you so you can recognize it. It's the love of God within you. Number one, it's eternal. You can never lose real love. It's changeless. Real love doesn't ever change to fear. Real love, the God in you, is unfailing forever, forever, forever. Now that's the answer to whatever confronts you today. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort. Without effort, without effort, and ensure confidence. tell yourself this often today. Through the love of God within me, I can resolve any difficulty. Through the love of God within me, I'm sustained by the love of my Creator. My Creator's love is what's sustaining me. Through the love of my Creator, I can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort. Without effort, and in sure confidence. This is a declaration of release from the belief in idols, like pills, money, protected clothing, influence, prestige, being knowing the right people, an endless list of forms of nothingness that you endow with magical powers. It's an acknowledgement of the truth about yourself. So let this idea sink deep within your consciousness. Repeat, I am sustained by the love of God. Think about it. I am sustained by the love of God. Let related thoughts come to help you. 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 Recognize that what you just heard is the truth, that you're sustained by your Creator and not by all the stuff that the world teaches you that actually sustains you. Allow peace to flow over you. Allow peace to flow over you. Be grateful that you're in a space where you're totally safe. Be grateful. Be grateful for your friends. Be grateful for your family. Be grateful for the beautiful things that are in your life. Be grateful that you are sustained by the love of God. Be grateful. Be grateful. Not because you'll be punished if you're not. Just be grateful. Just be grateful. And allow peace to flow over you like a blanket. Just picture peace flowing over you like a blanket of protection. It's like you cuddle under a blanket. Imagine yourself cuddling under the blanket of peace and prosperity and love and abundance. Don't let any idle and foolish thoughts enter to disturb your innocent mind. Don't let any idle or foolish thoughts enter to disturb your innocent mind. Don't let any guilty thoughts enter to disturb your innocent mind. Don't let any guilty thoughts enter. Don't let any guilty thoughts enter to disturb your innocent mind. Because having no fear, having no guilt, having no anger, depression, separation, sadness, and lack. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's the resting place. That's your resting place where your Father, Mother, God, your Creator has placed you forever. So the thought goes something like, I am sustained by the love of God. 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 You are sustained by the love of God. You are sustained by the love of God. You are sustained by the love. Remember only this, you need not believe the ideas. You need not believe the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe. I say some of the ideas, I mean it, you will find hard to believe. And others may seem to be quite startling. And others may seem to be quite startling. Guess what? You are not asked to judge the ideas at all. You are not asked to judge the ideas at all. Their use will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that the ideas are true. I'll tell you, the use of the ideas, using the ideas, will show you that they are true. Show me that the ideas are true. Holy Spirit, show me that the ideas are true. Holy Spirit, show me that the ideas are true. Holy Spirit, show me that the ideas are true. Holy Spirit, show me that the ideas are true. Loving Spirit, show me that the ideas are true. Loving Spirit, show me that the ideas are true. Loving Spirit, show me that the ideas are true. I'm Earl Purdy, and I'm yourself in a black body. So take a look at how you look black.
You're cute,
right?
Yeah.
You just calling yourself cute. If you're new to the course, welcome. If this is your first time, if the Course in Miracles is sort of like when you come in, it's like kind of hopping the train. Because I always believe that everybody hears what they need to hear. So I just teach at the same level. And I assume that whoever shows up, they show up because they're ready. Rather than trying to change everything I do to meet whoever comes in. And I think it works out better that way. Because, most of the time new people don't come back. So you gotta kind of do it for the people that's around the most. I learned that teaching. New people do, but wouldn't be people here. But most of the time they don't. Because we're checking stuff out. And, something doesn't resonate for us, we go do something else. And that's cool. That's what's so cool about the truth, is that it'll come to you in the form that's best for you and in the form that you can relate to the most. And so if something doesn't resonate for you, I think it's great to go and go where it does resonate for you. Because that's why I'm doing this. This resonated for me, and it changed my whole entire perception of everything. And as a result, I get depressed about how good things go. I had a day yesterday that was so cool that I was depressed. Because the part of me that didn't believe I deserved it had been foiled again. And so it was disgusted that it didn't work like it used to. That part of me that used to keep me, unhappy for some reason or another, or blocked, it's not winning as much as it used to, And so I just like to publicly say that I'm grateful to God, I'm grateful to the truth, and I'm grateful to the universe, and I'm grateful to you. I found out a startling lesson studying the Course, is that things that you're not grateful for leave your life. And what I used to do was I used to always let people know when I was upset and be very verbal about that. But when I really loved and appreciated people, I took it for granted and didn't really let them know what I appreciated about them. But they sure would hear what I was upset about. So whatever you share is what you strengthen. And whatever you don't share is what you weaken. So by not expressing the love, I forgot how much I was receiving. Because you can't express something and not retain a lot of it. So that's the reason why I take a minute and say thank you. Thank you. So we're going to be on page 75. And we're still going through the chapter on the Holy Spirit. 74. The word no, da 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 da. The Holy Spirit is a Christ man, da 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 da. Let's take a look at that. I should refer to the back of it. Where would you go at first? Okay. Is 85 money? Okay. It happened to be where the book is marked. Okay. So we have the ego's use of guilt. The ego is nothing but the part of the mind that believes that it's separate and the part of the mind that believes in fear. It's the part of the mind that believes we're separate. It's the part of your mind that believes we experience fear, broken into by periods in which it seems to be gone. So let's see if we pass this test. Do we appear to be separate?
Yes. Yeah.
And does it seem like we're different?
Yes.
Okay, so we can pretty much admit that there's a part of us then that's the ego.
Yeah.
And so the Course says the ego's use of guilt. So there's a part of your mind that the only way it can stay in charge is to keep you separate from love and to keep you separate from God. The way that the part of your mind that doesn't love you keeps you away from love and keeps you away from your joy is through using guilt and fear and attack. Okay? So now this is now going to describe to us how all that works. So it says, perhaps some of our concepts will become clearer and more personally meaningful if your separated, fearful mind's use of guilt is clarified. So you have to realize the part of your mind that's afraid, the part of your mind that gets upset, the part of your mind that thinks it's separate has a purpose, just as the part of your mind that loves you does. So the part of your mind that doesn't love you has a purpose just like the part of your mind that does love you. Okay, so with the Course in Miracles, if you want to take all the mystery out of it, it's just talking about the loving part of us and the fearful part of us. The part of us that thinks is one and the part of us that thinks is separate. Okay? Like right now, basically our representatives are sitting in the chairs in this room. Our public face has nothing to do with anything probably about how what we really like the ones you get to know any of us. You know, so this is actually the most fake part of us that's sitting here right now. And if this is the most fake part of us, we must be cooler than we think. Don't you see? No, yeah. If this is my fake part is showing up to try to hear something about some love. Then the real me must be what brought me. It must be cool.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so there's a part of your mind that he says has the purpose that's fear because only the fearful can be egotistic. So the ego's logic, which is the part of you that thinks it's afraid or frightened or upset about something, its logic is as impeccable as the part of your mind that knows that you are love, which is the Holy Spirit. Because your mind has the means at its disposal to side with heaven or earth, which is love or fear, as your mind elects. But again, remember that both heaven and earth are in you. Love and fear are in you. So there's a part of your mind, he says, there's a part of our mind that's afraid and insane, but it can use logic just as good as the part of our mind that's full of love that is sane. And we get a chance to elect which part of our mind we're going to listen to. So every minute you're choosing which part of your mind that you're going to let guide you. And each part is logical. For instance, if you and me are separate and we're not one, then we're in competition. I got to look out for myself and I got to make sure that you don't do something to harm me. It's very logical coming from the perception of separation that we could have some distrust between us. You see, that's very logical. He's not me. If I give something to him, then I don't have it anymore. That sounds logical. From the perspective of separation, that sounds logical. So the part of us that's crazy can be logically crazy. Okay? So being logical doesn't mean you're sane. People sometimes think that when they're logical, it means that they're sane. No, the premise of separation... From the premise of separation, it's logical for us to fear each other. Okay? And then he says, but there's another part of us that can also use the logic of if we were the same. if we were one. Okay, you and I are one, so everything I give to myself. The love I show you is love I'm showing myself. If I treat you safe, I'm treating myself safe. If I want you to be happy, I'm wanting me to be happy. Because we are one, I wouldn't want to hurt you because that would be hurting myself. Because we are one, I'd want you to eat because I wouldn't want to be hungry. Because, you see, oneness also has a logic. But did you notice that the logic of oneness was much more about protecting both of us, while the logic of separation was just about each man for himself? But both very logical, depending on what the premise is that you're going to come from and which voice that you're going to listen to, which of course says it's the Holy Spirit, which is your loving mind, or the ego, which is the part of you. It doesn't mean nobody will include yourself, but it's very nice. It's a nice person. But it's a nice person. Right. I see you laying in the gutter. I'll step over you. But I'm a nice person. I didn't stomp you. I'm a nice person. So I pride myself in being nice. So, but you can be nice and crazy. You know, so the course is trying to get us to go for sanity. Let's just flip it back for a minute. How many of you all have heard The Secret? Read the book The Secret or familiar with The Secret? Everybody who has? I didn't say whether you liked it or not, but you who's read The Secret? All right. And how many of you believe that that is basically saying that you attract things to you based on your mind and your thinking and your consciousness and your feeling? How many people kind of go along with that could possibly be true? Okay. That did not start when you started reading The Secret. Okay? If that's true now, then that means that's always been true. And if it's always been true, it means your thoughts, feelings, emotions, and beliefs have always, subconscious and conscious, have always been attracting to you what has been happening to you since the day you were born. Now, suppose you came into the experience and from the time you were born, people gave you ideas that when you manifested those ideas, it created pain, sickness, fear, and sorrow and lack for you. For instance, if you come in and you're told you're guilty, you're sinful, you're worthless, you're bad, your body, you're not connected to your source, you're vulnerable, everything can come out, can get you. Okay, those are ideas. Those are ideas of the ego. Then you produce those ideas as the physical events and situations and circumstances that you also experience in your life. But the way that you keep the fear going is you have to also be told that you're a victim of circumstances and nothing that's happening to you has anything to do with you. It's caused by factors outside of yourself and heredity. So you are a creator that believes that you are less than whole and perfect and healed. And so then you create situations and circumstances in your life that cause you pain as a result of the core beliefs that you have. Then you draw people to you who share those beliefs and who resonate with those beliefs. And then you all reinforce those beliefs because you all believe the same thing, so you're having the same experience, the experience of fear. Then out of that experience of fear, you seek for a few people that you can grab hold to that will seem to offer you some kind of protection from this stuff that's going on in the outside. At least one person is going to care. And since there's not a lot of loving people because I'm in this fearful reality based on these erroneous ideas I've been taught about myself, I'm scared to let that person out of my sight, and therefore I am insecure and jealous. I believe that things are out to get me and I'm a victim of everything, and so I get laid off. See, I'm right. So there's one part of the mind that's logically using fear, and then there's another part of the mind that's not operating from that premise. And the purpose of the Course in Miracles is to help you unlearn and undo those core beliefs that's bringing you pain while you acquire a new set of interpretations and beliefs that allow you to see a world of love and peace and abundance and joy. But it's up to you to choose which one of those ideas that you are going to accept and try to accept as truth for you. So this is what I'm saying is very important, because the old part of you that doesn't believe you deserve to be happy, it is very inventive and very ingenious in ways that it tricks you
into continuing to hurt yourself over and over and over again. And it uses guilt primarily to do it. Okay, so this next paragraph is going to use the word atonement a lot. And atonement is nothing but the undoing of fear. It's the correction of error. So, and when the court says heaven, it's talking about where there is no guilt. Because when you only know your innocence, and you don't feel guilty and afraid and angry, that's reality. That's what we were meant to experience. So you got to take a stand about what your reality is going to be. Is your reality a reality of fear and pain? Is your reality going to be a reality of total fulfillment and freedom? You got to make a choice about that, see? And so the Course says the kingdom, which is the joy, is attained through the atonement, which is the undoing of fear. And the undoing of fear releases you to create. So when I'm not afraid, I am creative. When I'm not afraid, I am powerful. When I'm not afraid, I am loving. And when I am loving, I am safe, because love protects you.
Yeah.
Whew. The word create is appropriate here, because the once what you've made is undone by the love in you, the blessed residue is restored and therefore continues in creation. So everything you have done that upsets you or makes you afraid or keeps you feeling fear, the Holy Spirit, the God in you, is going to undo that and then take all the fear away from it, and there's going to be a blessed residue of love that's going to be remaining. And so now, since it's full of love and it's been purified, it can continue in creation, because the only thing that extends is love. And if it's not love, it ends. So anything that's not love is temporary. Anything that is love is permanent. That which explains why everything here is temporary. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God that the only thing that lasts is love, and anything less than love ends. That guarantees our safety one day. That's why when you're in a relationship and it's not really loving, it ends. Or you learn as much as you can from each other at the time, and so you're separating because you've done as well as you can do right now, and you've learned as much as you can right now. But if it ends because it's for your own good. Do I like it? No. Did I call my friend on the phone and cry all snotty face? Yes. No. I didn't say it wasn't okay to have your emotional reaction to your experience. I just said it's for your own good. One day you'll send him a card. Thank you. So glad you left. Because I was so insane, you know what? I would have kept you around even though you weren't treating me right. And I wasn't treating myself right. I was so crazy and so desperate, I thought I'd just hang on to you out of the guilt I felt for not being worthy enough to even be with you in the first place. And you treated me so bad that you freed me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank those worthy opponents who show up in your life that force you to practice your truth. Because if it wasn't for them, it's a good chance you would never use it. So you always create a worthy opponent on your spiritual path sooner or later. That person or that situation or circumstance that says, okay, let's see what you believe. Not because the universe is testing you, it's just because only the blessed residue can continue forward. So only what's real needs to be revealed, so that what's real can continue to extend and grow and bring you love. So it's like shedding a husk or a stage of a rocket. You know, you start a relationship and it shoots off in the air, and then you have the first stage drop off. The first illusion gets shattered. You know what I'm saying? You know, you keep on climbing in the relationship, then the second stage. But before you know it, you're in orbit. You know what I'm saying? So when you drop off the fear, the love will propel you and take care of you. But you have to know the difference between fear and love. And so the truth reveals the truth to you, so you can be free. Because you said you wanted to be happy, and you said you wanted to have peace, and you said you wanted to have prosperity, and you said you wanted to know your source, and you said you wanted to be strong, and you said you wanted a new life. You can't take the old one with you. I'm sorry. But you can have the old one reinterpreted to release you from fear. Yeah. He says, now, this is a deep statement. The Course can say one statement that you can stay on all night. It says, what is truly blessed is incapable of giving rise to guilt. Okay. So if you're in something that's really blessed, if you're in something that's really blessed, if you're in something that's really loved, if you're in something that's really real, it's impossible for you to feel guilty about it. Because if it's a blessing, it certainly would make you feel joy. If it's a blessing, it makes you feel joy. If it makes you feel guilty, you don't see it as a blessing.
Wow.
So the relationship that a person's getting ready to get into, and they feel guilty or afraid before they even enter it, they're already saying, this is not a blessed relationship, and I'm getting ready to punish myself. And I'm getting ready to use you to do it. How do I know that? Well, I already feel fear before I even enter. So what do you do? Well, you ask the Holy Spirit. You ask the Holy Spirit in you to do what? Undo it so that a blessed residue is restored. And then you can continue forward. You ask for another way to look at your relationship. You ask for that fear to be undone. You ask for another way to experience that relationship. You ask the Holy Spirit, which is your loving, sane mind, to come into that relationship and restore it to the blessed level that you like it to be, so that what's real can continue to extend. The advantage of being in something that gives you joy is that it makes whatever the thing that gives you joy invulnerable to your own self, to your own ego, because this peace is unassailable. Let's say that again. If I'm in something that I feel innocent about and I feel blessed about, then that means that my ego, which is the part of me that would be trying to make me feel guilty or feel like it's not right or feel like I don't deserve it, it can't mess with it, because I'm too friggin' happy and too friggin' enjoying this and feel too safe in this to possibly feel afraid. So I can't, my ego cannot affect something that really makes me happy. I'm too happy for you to mess with me. I feel too blessed for some negative thought to change my feelings. I feel too good about myself to let some person who don't appreciate me make me think I'm not okay. If I really love myself, I'm invulnerable to anybody else's misperception, fear, criticism, or judgment, because I just feel too good about myself and I feel too blessed to be affected by the false lie that's coming out of your mouth. And I know it's a lie because I know I'm good and I'm blessed and I'm loved. So I don't have to wonder if what you're saying is the truth unless I doubt what I am. Mm-hmm. The blessed residue is invulnerable to the fear, because I feel so much peace that my peace is unassailable. I feel too much peace for anybody to mess with me. I feel too much peace for anybody to change. That's what it's saying right here. He says, if you're in something that's truly blessed, it's incapable of giving rise to guilt, so it must give rise to joy. And the more you're in something that's giving rise to joy, that makes your joy invulnerable to the ego, because your peace is unassailable. You're invulnerable to disruption, because your peace is whole. So guilt is always disruptive. Guilt is always disruptive. Now, many people go, well, if you didn't feel guilty, you wouldn't be a good person, you'd be a psychopath. Guilt is good. Okay, we're in a world that's based on the idea that guilt is good. We're already having a chance to see what the idea that guilt is good produces.
It's the one.
We think we need the guilt to make us good. I don't think that what I need to make myself good is to be aware of how loving I am and be loving to all of you. I think in order to be good, I need to feel bad. And the badder I feel, the gooder I'm going to feel. So I make myself feel really, 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 really crappy as a way of punishing myself. It's just like somebody whipping your butt, but you hired them to do it full time, 24 hours a day, and the way you did that was to make it your own mind.
Oh, yeah.
Then I can just leave it up to you to crucify yourself, and I don't even have to get involved. I can make you feel so bad about yourself that you judge and you criticize yourself so harshly that even when I'm not around, you're still judging yourself and won't let yourself feel peace because you're trying to be good. You know, and the Course is saying, you know what? If you were really letting yourself experience the love and the truth and the power and the freedom and the connection to your source that really exists, you would have so much joy that could nothing make you afraid. It couldn't make you feel bad. And since your thought is created and you're no longer giving out any fearful thoughts that you could be hurt, then your reality reflects nothing but safety, abundance, joy, love, and peace for you because it's a reflection, like y'all said earlier, of your own law of attraction. So now you have a different kind of mind. So now you have a different kind of physical experience. So you change your physical experience by changing your mind first. And then the things that happen physically are nothing but the things that symbolize your willingness to have what you ask for. So as a symbol of my willingness to look a certain way in my body, I'll jog. But it's not the jogging that's making my body look that way. It's my intention. I can remember sitting in a lounge chair and jogging around the block in my mind and losing weight.
Wow.
Sitting down and going, man, I really ran a long way today. One day I did 10 miles. I'm not kidding y'all. I was so proud. I'm really good. What? Your thoughts create the form of your body. Your body doesn't do anything but foster your beliefs. Your body just lets you know what you believe about yourself. Okay. So basically, the ego could try to make what I just said complicated, but let's not.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part of your mind that doesn't think you deserve to be happy and is using guilt to keep you feeling bad as a form of punishment for yourself because we've been taught that it's through punishment you get corrected. So if we want to be good people, then we have to have a lot of good punishment so that we can feel good about ourselves again. So people who feel guilty are all day long saying to the universe, punish me about this, punish me about that, punish me about this, punish me about that, punish me about this, punish me about that, punish me about that, punish me about that, feel guilty about that, punish me about that, I feel guilty about this, punish me about that, I feel guilty about that, what I did yesterday when that little mess was out, punish me about that. Guilt is a request for punishment. Guilt is a request for punishment so that you will have the offense absolved so you can be okay again. So feeling guilty is requesting the universe to kick your ass. All day long. And what you do when you feel that way is you form relationships with people who make you feel guilty and who attack you so that you can get the punishment that you need so you can be all right again. So you seem too crazy to hurt yourself all day, so you have to hurt yourself through another person so that it'll seem like it makes sense in your insane plan for salvation. And the Course is saying, stop it. It's crazy. Stop it. Stop it. You're innocent. You're sinless. You're guilty. You're guiltless. You're beautiful. See, that's the ego. You're guilty. See, I'd say if this came out of my mouth, you're guilty. Right? And I meant to say you're guiltless. You know what I mean? Because the more I tell you you're innocent, the more your guilt's going to come up. The more I tell you you're innocent, the more everything that's unlike your innocence comes up to be released. The more I say, the more you tell me you love me, the more you're going to see the stuff in me that's not love so it can be released so we can really have love between us. That's why when I told you I love you, I had no idea what I was stepping into. Well, you didn't realize how much stuff wasn't love that needed to be cleared up, purged, and blessed so you could really have love in the relationship. So as soon as you tell somebody you love them, be ready. I promise you, be ready. Because you just said, I want everything that's not love to leave this relationship. I want everything that's not love to come up to be released. I want everything that's not love to be released. I want everything that's not love. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like a clam you're trying to get to the pearl or a chunk of coal that you're trying to get to the diamond. You're going, I love you. Ooh, that's some jealousy, some insecurity, some projection, some blame, broken into by a world. That was a good movie in the mountain climb and the hike we had yesterday. you know, it's coming up to be released. It's coming up to be released. And then the person feels like they've been deceived by the other person because they feel like the other person is showing them things that they promised that they would never see them. And they don't realize that the minute that they said they loved each other, they were making a declaration that they wanted to have their relationship purified. So they have to immediately see everything about it that needs to be corrected so that they can have the love that they're looking for. So how do we get out of this mess? Well, it says right here, if you were to focus on the innocence of each other and not on trying to make each other guilty, whether that's a friendship or anything else, that would begin to create a level of joy and no need to be punished. And the ones that you start to let yourself have some joy in the relationships that you have, they become invulnerable to the part of your mind that would hurt you because you don't believe you deserve to be hurt anymore. Because your relationship is a witness that you deserve only love, and that convinces you even more that you must be okay and that you're beautiful and that you're innocent, and your mind radiates that, and then you draw to you relationship situations and circumstances that reflect that you are valuable. That's a lot easier than sending out a resume. Even though you may send out a resume, symbolic of your willingness to have a better life condition. So it's not saying you're not engaged in your physical life, it's just saying that everything in your physical life you give a new purpose to than what you used to give to it. It's symbolic of your willingness to have what you want. We wouldn't have a body if we didn't need one. We really didn't need one, but we gave ourselves one. And since we've given ourselves one, we need a new way to use it that doesn't hurt us. Let's see what's next. But before I do that, any questions, any comments about anything that I've said so far? You really don't have to agree with me. I wouldn't be sitting in front of the room if I believed everybody had to agree with me. But I love to hear, I love to clear up any misperceptions that might be frightening someone or they're confused about or whatever. All that makes sense to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Girl, I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, it does make sense. I mean, it's pretty sinking in slowly. But one thing that I've noticed is that in practicing this, there was a time that I had to be completely alone, and then I had to have a handful of people around me, and then I had to have another handful around me, and it's just kind of like a progressive
mm-hmm.
kind of experience mm-hmm. because, you know, there's a lot of purification that needs to happen,
mm-hmm.
and so I can't really be around too many learning experiences
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering. Is that always a reflection of like where I am, or is it a reflection of, you know, like fear pictures, or I'm just wondering if it's like my ego or just my being able to look at and not fall into another person's picture.
It's all you.
Okay. Right.
You don't have to single out what part is you. It's all you. Every there's not a feeling, or emotion, or thought, or anything that I perceive anywhere that's not in my own mind.
Right, but if it seems like it's not a present time thought,
mm-hmm.
like maybe it's just something you had to look at that was part of you 5 years ago. Is that possible? Or like, is it something that, like, I just want to know, like, how to measure, like, the progression.
Yeah. It's very easy to measure your progression. You just measure your progression by how much inner peace that you feel and how little you condemn yourself for whatever you're feeling at any given moment. You can assume you're doing a great job when you can have all your feelings and feel innocent about them and not judge yourself for any of your feelings, and you keep your inner peace no matter what's going on around you. That's progress, if you want to judge progress. It's not how much money you have. It's not how much specialness you have. It's not how much fame you have. It's not how much pleasure you have. It's about how much feeling of fulfillment that you feel on the inside that's unshakable by anything outside of yourself making you get into a space of guilt and fear about you. And if you do get in a space of guilt and fear, you realize that that doesn't really affect who and what you really are, because you were created by God and nothing can change that, and you're only loved and nothing can change that. The most that you can do is misperceive who you are, but then you've been blessed by our creator that gives you a corrector for any time you're seeing yourself without love, so that you will be free again. And that's what's happening right now. That part of us is trying to communicate to us and let us know new ways to look at ourselves and think about ourselves so that we can change our consciousness and therefore change our reality. And that's totally rooted in joy. It's like, it works like this. I'm going to give you so much love and so much help and so much joy and so much peace and so much support that you just can't be afraid and insecure because you just got too much going for you. So then that doesn't involve that process of trying to figure out what happened to you when you were 6 years old and change what happened to you last week and what your boss said to you last week. It would be like my life and the love I feel inside and the joy I feel inside and the support I feel inside is so much that I am invulnerable to the fears and misperception and guilt and attacks of the world. And since my mind is coming from a peaceful place and my mind creates my reality, then I start to create for myself a peaceful life. Then I'll be in the world but not of the world, because I'll be walking right through the world without being touched by all this stuff that everybody else is tripping about. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I look like everybody else and talk like everybody else so that I can be a means of bringing that same love and truth to everybody else, because I know there's no way I can have it for myself if I don't share it. And if I really believe you all one with me, why would I want to have a joyful state that you wouldn't also have the opportunity to share in too? That would mean I didn't mean nothing I'm sitting up here saying. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Whew, if you can't share it, you don't love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, is it a sacrifice for me to do that? No, I'm not losing anything sitting up here reminding you that you're beautiful beings that deserve to be happy, that you're not victim of circumstances, and that you have to. Please tell me the sacrifice that I'm making. None. And people who really need drama and really need fear and don't really feel like they're worthy of having that, they're not going to try to form a relationship with me, so therefore I'm not going to deal with the drama that they would bring. Because people who like drama aren't attracted to people who are peaceful. They like to look at them. But they don't like to have a relationship with them. Right? And then those who are like you will recognize their own and they'll be attracted to you and they'll make their presence known, and so you never would be alone. But in the beginning, it's great that you have that period where it looks like you're alone, because it simply means there's less people to interfere with your progression.
Yeah.
Because everything that you're being asked to do doesn't depend on anybody else's cooperation. So the sooner you get by yourself and give yourself the thoughts that you need to give yourself without the interference of everybody around you, by keeping it to yourself and not telling somebody who wouldn't believe you were anything but crazy in the first place about what you're trying to do, then you'll go to the next level of consciousness a whole lot faster, because there's nobody resisting you because they don't know what you're doing.
Right.
But the minute you think you got to tell everybody you know about every new realization that you make, you're just setting yourself up to hear your own doubts coming back to you through the people around you to try to just persuade you to stay in the old thought system that's based on guilt and punishment.
Wow.
That's why this is such a treasure, because we get a chance to come together to witness to each other about something else other than the stuff we hear every day in the world. That's what makes this a miracle. And that's what makes this a blessing. And that's what makes me so grateful to have all of you in my life. So could we acknowledge ourselves for hearing this much? You know, the experience of being together for this purpose will protect all of us. You don't realize what you're not going to have happen to you because we came together tonight. You'll never know what didn't happen to you to hurt you because of what you experienced with us joining tonight. Mm-hmm.
Well, it just seems to me like, I mean, what it articulated to me is suffering is just an option. You don't choose that option.
Right. Suffering is nothing but a price that people try to pay for some pleasure.
When you can have pleasure without it.
Yes, but not until you realize who you really are. And that's what we're being reminded of. And then everything that tells you that you don't deserve the love, that you aren't a powerful being, that you can't have it, that you can't be the being that you know that you are, that's the voice of fear. That's the voice of the ego. And that's how you can tell when you're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself when whatever you're telling yourself is making you feel fatigued or drained or your energy is being lowered. Thank you for sharing with me in my full-time ministry with the course. I really appreciate your generosity and your support. Of course, that some people will be sent to you in the world, but once you start fulfilling your function, to give you the money that you need to stay, some people will be sent to show you how much you need forgiveness. So whatever you're doing in the world, feel innocent about receiving for it. I just wish I was doing something really important like being a soccer player so I could receive $250 million. You know, people don't have a problem with a soccer player getting $250 million. But if I told people that I was making $250 million and teaching spiritual truth, people would be up in arms. It's funny what our values are. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you're sharing something that's about love and truth, like, you know, it's like I hold something against a doctor who's saving lives if he makes $300,000 a year. But I'd be perfectly okay with a baseball player making $100 million. Don't have no problem with that whatsoever. It's just funny. It's real funny when you begin to wake up and you see that in the world, the more meaningless something is, the more revered it is. Why? Because it's taking you further and further away from the truth about yourself. So the ego likes that. And then when spirit comes in, spirit says, well, let me fix it for you. I'm going to show you how to use soccer to remember the truth about your spiritual identity. I'm going to show you how to use your favorite movie to bring you to the awareness of your truth. I'm going to show you how to take every pleasure and everything you do in your life to use that to wake you up to the truth. So therefore, you can be accepted where you are and you can be transformed where you are, and you don't have to spend all your time trying to change yourself to make yourself ready for God. That's so cool. When I was reading, I said, that makes perfect sense. That if something really loved me, it would help me where I am. It's not like, you know, I need help over here and you tell me, well, Earl, I would help you, but if you can make it over to the porch next door, then I'll help you out. If you were really going to help me, you would help me where I am. You'd meet me where I am. So wherever you are, you can be met with the love and the support. So don't think that your condition, the situation, the circumstance is something that the spirit and the truth cannot reach you and cannot heal you. Because if that was true, it wouldn't be all powerful. Do you love yourself enough? Will you start loving yourself enough to entertain the idea that you deserve to be happy now? And if you don't think that's true about you, could you love yourself enough to come here when you can and let me tell you that you deserve it? Could you manage to even do that? You know, if I can't tell myself something cool, you know, well, you tell me something cool, girl. Because I forgot, you know. Because I literally had people do that. Friends call me up and just say, tell me the truth about myself. Just tell me, you know, don't even get into what it's about because they know it don't really matter. So you don't even ask, what is it? You know, that doesn't matter. All they want is the answer because the answer is the same no matter what the illusion is. So, you know, you just need to know that you're loved and that there's nothing you can do to change that. There's nothing you can do to lose that. And in the meantime, you got some thoughts that can make you think you don't deserve it. And then we come together so spirit can teach us how to transform those thoughts so that we'll go into agreement with the universe, which is that we deserve perfect happiness because we're the only ones holding it up by thinking that it's something else we deserve other than that. You know, that's what's holding everything up. Or I think somebody else doesn't deserve it.
Right.
See, that just holds everything up. You know, so I just give, of course, I just give everybody to me. Just give everybody away. Just give them all away. That's what I do. I just give you all away. I give you to what created you. Now, and then you go, and I want to see the love of what created me coming through everything and everybody in my life. And then I want to see that love coming through my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my teacher, my boss, my friend, the guy. Because what will happen is that you will make another person yourself. Salvation, make them an idol, and then out of the fear of loss begin to kill the very relationship that you're afraid to lose. And the best way to have a great love relationship with somebody is to really know in your heart that you could be loved by a lot of people. The very least to keep them on their toes. You know, if I knew that the person I was with was such a loving, beautiful, wonderful person that they would always have love whether they were with me or not, I probably would appreciate them more and show them more. You see what I mean? But if I think nobody can love me, and then one person seems to love me, then I strangle it and I kill all the energy that's in that relationship. I just watch myself strangle it out of my fear of loss. So the plan is, you're going to be made so happy, you're going to see so much of your innocence that it's going to make you invulnerable to pain thoughts. And without those fear and pain thoughts, you won't create it in your physical world that comes from your thoughts. That's what we're going to do. Yeah, I know. At some point, we're going to get up for that like we would at a Broncos game. That's gonna happen. One day I'm gonna say to people, and you deserve to be happy and to have whatever you want and to have all your problems solved, and you deserve to have the kind of love you deserve, and they're gonna go, yes! Yes, that's right! That's good! Well, yes! That's gonna happen. Because I've seen it happen before. But at first the idea has to be introduced. And it's kinda like that's the same some of us say right now. I'm looking out there. I love that face.
That new face.
Yeah, I love that face. I know your little truth versions. Okay, here we go. Okay, here's your challenge for tonight. Yourself up to the idea of having so much joy and so much peace and so much safety in your life that you just can't be afraid. You just can't feel guilty because you are experiencing so much peace. You don't have to know how. Remember this. How is not your business, but when is your business? When will you have yours? When will you let yourself have the peace? When will you let yourself have the relationship? When will you let yourself have the abundance? When will you let yourself have the fullness of life that's available to you right now? Are you willing to resign as your own teacher? Are you willing to stop trying to teach yourself and start letting yourself teach you? Let yourself teach you. You didn't create yourself. 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 You are still as God created you. You're still as love created you. You're still as love created you, no matter what you feel about yourself, no matter what you think you've done in the past, no matter what insecurities you may think you have, you still are a priceless part of God's kingdom. You are still innocent. You are still beautiful. And you make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But mistakes are for loving correction. So you just tell yourself, man, mistakes are for loving correction. So tonight, take a stand. And then together we can go through this. And we can hear the way to move to that new reality. Yeah. All right. May the course be with you.
Thanks, girl.
Yeah. Hugs are available to the hugs out there. And my site, EarlPurdy.com, has all my classes for the last 3 years. And you'll also have these classes, and they're available for listening and download. EarlPurdy.com.
Yeah. Ooh, good class.
I know it's okay. I know it's hard to get up.
That's inspiring.
Hey, man. Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will.
Oh, yeah. The next class, 1 o'clock on Sunday. to start at 10. We want to start at 10. Thank you.